Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Friday night, and it is Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me tonight. And, well, you know, we are all abuzz here in the Lou in St. Louis because, well, our St. Louis Cardinals tied up the World Series last night with a decisive win over the Boston Red Sox, and so we are all tied up right now at one game apiece. And we had a travel day today, nothing going on tonight. But tomorrow night, we are going to be ready here to rock and roll. And actually, kind of as a side note, I heard the other day that those lovely people, those lovely, inviting, beautiful, loving people from the Westboro Baptist Church have somehow found a reason to protest, of all things, the World Series. And so they're going to be... rumor has it they will be outside of Busch Stadium tomorrow night and protesting, you know, whatever the hell it is they protest when it comes to baseball. So that'll make things even more interesting. But you know what? We are ready to rock and roll here in St. Louis, and we will be ready for Game 3. But also beyond that, we've had a lot going on this week. It's been a busy week. You know, what more can I say? I really all I have to say is two words. Obamacare. And, you know, what I think the only other thing besides saying the word Obamacare, what that conjures up to people right now, when you hear that roar of the train wreck coming down the tracks, that would be Obamacare coming to a neighborhood near you. Because that's exactly what it is that it's a train wreck. It's a catastrophe waiting to happen. And the people who are shoving this down the throats of the American people, either they really, really don't see that, which is incredibly, it's mind-boggling to think that they really don't see what's coming and how this really is going to affect one-sixth of the American economy, how this is affecting people's personal economies. I heard just last night from some good friends of mine that got their letter in the mail last week that their insurance company isn't dropping them, but they're switching them. So, wait a minute. I thought that under Obamacare, under the great and powerful Obamacare, that if you liked your plan, you could keep it. If you liked your doctor, you could keep him or her. Well, that doesn't seem to be the case with a whole lot of people, and the list keeps growing and growing. And like I said, the people who are trying to shove this down the throats of the American people, either they are insanely naive to the point where you really can't get your mind around it, or they know what a debacle it not only is right now here in the beginning, and we are just, make no mistake about it, kids, this is the tip of the iceberg right here. We are just starting out with this catastrophe. And so if they really and truly, they either really and truly don't see it, or they are just so intent on keeping the legacy of Barack Obama and his, quote, signature piece of legislation. It seems like that anybody that you see, that you've seen on TV this week, any liberal commentator, any liberal talking head that you've seen on TV this week, it's almost like they think that all they have to do is put the word signature in front of the word legislation when they're talking about Obamacare, and somehow that just makes it all okay. Well, guess what? No, it doesn't make it all okay, and it doesn't make it all okay for a whole lot of people. And we had hearings, in fact, just yesterday up on Capitol Hill about this website debacle, because in case you've been under a rock lately and don't know it, well, it's damned near impossible to get on the healthcare.gov website. I have not tried myself. Maybe I'll try, and I'll get back to you next week, and we'll see if I'm still waiting to try to get on the website. If I try, long about Wednesday or Thursday, maybe by Friday I'll have something for you, and we'll see how long it takes for me to get on the website. But I think the biggest question right now, actually maybe there are two questions, are what did the president know about this train wreck, and when did he know it? And also, when did HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, what did she know about this and when did she know? Because let's face it, bottom line, somebody knew something. And it was somebody high up the food chain that knew something, and they have let this nightmare roll out just the way it is. And so whether or not hearings or anything else is going to be able to get to the bottom of this, that remains to be seen. And, you know, it's funny because I love the fact that they keep calling this a glitch. You know, it's just a computer glitch. Well, you know, a computer glitch is when you try to log on to Facebook and you get the little thing on your computer that keeps spinning and spinning and spinning. That's a glitch. When people simply cannot get onto the website or any one of a dozen other things that are happening with this, you know, you could run out of adjectives to describe it as well. That's not a glitch. There's probably a whole lot of other words that are unacceptable to say on radio that I could call it, so I won't go there. But anyway, the interesting thing about this is that the technical setup for this, the writing of the code and all of the technical IT geeky kind of stuff that went on behind the scenes in the setup of this was done by a company called CGI, and they're a Canadian company. And I believe that they were also in charge of getting the Canadian healthcare system up and running. I'm sure my good north of the border Canadian friend Kel Fritzy, if I'm wrong about this, she will absolutely call me and correct me. And maybe I should have talked to her first. But hey, Kel, how you doing? But I don't think we've all heard stories about what happens in the Canadian health system as well. So I'm thinking that this company probably does not have a very good track record. And the thing is that this is just so, like I said, I have friends whose health insurance is going to change. They're being switched from one plan to another, and they have a lot of questions about that, about being able to see certain doctors and things. In 45 out of the 50 states, premiums are going up, and they're going up big time. And on average, premiums are going up between 79 and 99% for men and 60 to 62% for women. That's in addition to all the young people, and that's really what is supposed to drive this whole thing and what's supposed to make this work, is that young people who are, well, you know, you can stay on your parents' insurance until you're 26. I don't know if that includes, you know, do you have to be, you know, living in your underwear in your parents' basement until you're 26 too? Well, you probably will, because at this point, if you're just getting out of college and you're around that age, you're probably not getting a job anyway, so you don't have any choice but to live in your parents' basement and be on their insurance plan until you're 26. So there's that. But the thing that's going to drive this engine is younger people who are paying into this system. And right now, you know, they can be paying anywhere between, you know, $50, $100, $150 a month for a pretty minimum plan. Because when you're young, you know, God willing, you're healthy, and you're not going to need a plan that has a lot of bells and whistles to it. And so you're going to get the minimum amount of coverage that you need when you're age 26, 27, 28, and you're a healthy young person. But with this rollout of this plan, that's not going to be the case. I mean, we're seeing premiums for young people go up from, you know, like I said, $50, $100, $150 to $200, $300, $400 a month. And first of all, that's hilarious if you don't even have a job in order to pay for that. But if you do, I don't know a whole lot of younger people who are going to dedicate that much of their income, because, you know, unless you're born and your last name is Kennedy or Rockefeller, I'm sure most of us at that age did not make a whole lot of money. And you don't have that kind of money to devote to health care and to health insurance every month. And so what's going to happen here is that those young people who are designed to prop up this system, they're just going to say, well, I'm not paying for that. I'm healthy. I don't have any chronic health problems. You know, if I catch a cold, I'm going to go to the urgent care and have them write me a script for some antibiotics. I'll be fine. You know, we all think that when we're that age that we're invincible. And so if you catch a cold, you catch a sore throat, whatever, you're going to go to one of those places, and you're going to stay home and take drugs for a couple of days, and you'll be fine. So those people, 9 times out of 10, those people are not going to buy those health plans. And, you know, I think it's a it's the consensus of pretty much everybody on the right that this whole thing is slowly but surely it's going to implode upon itself. And when it does, you know, we're going to have a bigger set of problems than we already do. And, you know, Republicans have been shouting from the rooftops that because of this rollout debacle and the problems with the website and people not being able to log on and get the plan that they want, that, you know, Republicans have been saying that we need to delay this deadline because you can't. How can you fine someone for not purchasing a product that they can't get on the website to buy in the first place? And like I said, it just seems as though that Democrats are so intent on pushing this, quote, signature, there's that word again, piece of legislation to prop up Barack Obama's legacy that they're just, you know, they've got tunnel vision and they're just not listening to people. But this week, as bad as this has been, there has been some Democrat senators who have come out and said, hey, maybe this is something that we need to think about. And what's really funny is that a lot of these senators, maybe not funny, ha-ha funny, but funny things that make you go, funny, a lot of these senators who now all of a sudden are on board with this delay, a lot of them are in mostly red states, and they're up for re-election in 2014 or even 2016. And so they don't want any kind of – let me use a word that liberals have loved to use this week. Those senators who are up for re-election don't want any glitches in their re-election. So they're kind of coming on board, some of them, with a lot of conservatives and a lot of Republicans who are saying, hey, let's fix this, and then we can deal with it. But so it will also remain to be seen if we actually do – get a delay on this. I know that Senator Marco Rubio of Florida has introduced a bill delaying the mandate here for a year. Whether or not he is going to get this passed through the Senate, you know, also, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, it's the whole thing here. This whole thing started with the filibuster of Ted Cruz. And it almost seems like that, you know, the poor guy stood there on the floor of the Senate for almost 20 hours, and it almost seems like that it's for nothing now, because this whole thing is just the train wreck is coming right through, and nothing seems to be, you know, I think we're just going to have to watch it do what it's going to do. But Ted Cruz came home to Texas this week, and when I get back, we're going to hear a little bit of his homecoming, a little bit of his homecoming rally, his homecoming party. So stick around for that. I'm going to take a break here. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Maryville rape case and a couple other little odds and ends here. Alan Grayson is at it again. He is a piece of work, let me tell you. But anyway, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me tonight. Thank God it's Friday. I'll be back in just a second.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
And we're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. We got a lot going on tonight. We've got, you know, everything about Obamacare. And we got a few little tidbits here and there. I'm going to play a little clip here. Ted Cruz went back home to Texas this week, and he got a pretty rousing homecoming from his constituents.
Local 2 Keith Garvin joins us live with a welcome home rally for Cruz near the Heights. Keith?
Bill, we're outside the headquarters for the local conservative grassroots organization that hosted the senator's rally tonight. His message to the crowd was, if you think he took a tough stance in Washington over the past few weeks, he's only getting started.
Senator Ted Cruz!
Welcomed home like a hero, Senator Ted Cruz entered a hot, steamy warehouse packed with several hundred supporters in Northwest Houston. They were there to say thank you to the man they say represented them in Washington, even to the point of the recent government shutdown.
I've spent the past month in Washington, D.C., and it is terrific to be back in America.
This was the senator's third welcome home rally since this weekend, and his message was unchanged. He may have lost the recent battle to end the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, but his fight will continue. After he addressed the crowd, I spoke to him one-on-one about his next step.
Working to win the argument, to make the argument nationally that Obamacare isn't working, that it's hurting millions of people, to help people tell their stories.
Cruz wouldn't give specifics, but he says despite criticism from some in his own party, don't expect his message to change.
We're not going to turn the country around from Washington. It's going to come from the American people, and that's what I'm devoting my energy to.
I think that's why we sent him up there. We feel that Obamacare is bad for the country. It's a step towards socialism that Ronald Reagan warned against way back in the 60s.
Well, he's one of the few in Washington, I think, that has actually done what he was expected to do.
Senator, about his relationship with his fellow Republicans in the Senate, he said that he is treated cordially, but he's much more worried about his relationship with the Texas people.
And you know what? That's how it should be. Ted Cruz shouldn't give a damn about whether or not he's getting along, because that's what people are so sick and tired of, and that's what the people of Texas sent him to Washington to do, is not worry about whether or not he's getting invited to the right parties and that he's getting along with people in Washington. They're worried about what he's going to do for millions of Texans, and that's what he's there to do, and that's exactly how it should be. But, you know, here's the thing, and it is that if I were Ted Cruz, if I were going to give advice to Ted Cruz, like he needs advice from me, you know what I mean? But if I was going to give advice to Ted Cruz, I would tell him to sit down and have a very long conversation with Sarah Palin, because what's going to happen to him is exactly the thing that happened to Sarah Palin, the Palinization of people, I like to call it, because that's basically what it is. As soon as Sarah Palin came on the scene and liberals saw who she was and what she stood for and the things that she believed in, they knew that they had to destroy her, and they knew that they had to destroy her at all costs because she was a big threat to them. And the same thing is going to happen here with Ted Cruz. They are going to go, they're going to find out who his third grade teacher is, and if there's any way that she can say anything bad or anything negative about him, they're going to find her and they're going to do it, because it's all about destruction. Rush Limbaugh, the great Rush Limbaugh, said one time, he's said a lot of great things, but one of the things he said one time was that the left will always tell you who they're afraid of. And when he said this, if I can remember right, it was during the 2008 election. And it was things were just getting going, and you had a lot of candidates on both sides. And at the time that he said this, he said, you know, you can tell that they are not, they're not talking about Mike Huckabee. They're not worried about him, so they're not talking about him. And he rattled off a few other candidates and said, they're not talking about this person. They're not talking about that person. And the reason you can tell that they're not worried about that person is because they're not talking about him. But, boy, they cannot get enough of talking about Sarah Palin. And that's exactly what they did. I mean, at every turn, she was being vilified and run through the ringer and run through the mud. And so if I were Ted Cruz, that's exactly what I would do, is I would go back and look at every old videotape and look at every single thing that the mainstream media did to and said about Sarah Palin, because that's exactly what he's got coming. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take a phone call from somebody who is on the line. Let's see. I'm not doing this right, am I? Huh. Oh, well. I just noticed this. Hi, you're on with Becky Nobles, Conservative Cauldron.
Hi, how's it going, Becky?
It's going great. How are you? Who am I talking to?
Martin.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Do you not feel like sometimes that, like, you're kind of like dipping into two different wells? I mean, being a pagan and then sitting there and supporting what is essentially like Christian conservative values?
Well, here's the thing. And I really, sometime I'm going to do a whole show on this because, and I don't have, excuse me if I cut you off, I don't have a whole lot of time left, but I believe that pagan values and pagan beliefs are really quite conservative. And when I say that, as pagans, we believe very much in personal responsibility. We believe very much in what you put out into the world, you're going to get back. And I believe that those values are very conservative values.
Well, I mean, like, let's be more specific. Like, what kind of pagans are you talking about? Are you talking about like Norse heathens? Are you talking about Wiccans? Are you talking about Druids? I mean,
I'm a Wiccan. Personally, I'm a Wiccan. But I do feel that Wiccan values are quite conservative. And, you know, I'm glad you called.
I think most Wiccans would disagree with you on that. I mean, I'm not sitting there saying
that. I'm sure they would. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, like me being a Norse pagan, I definitely believe that Norse paganism has, like, some conservative slants to it, and the fact that it believes in community values and things like that, and a belief in like family and principles that relate to family and values. But I just don't believe that exists in Wicca, because Wicca is a very personal thing. It focuses more on the individual rather than it does the community, which is what sort of separates it from other pagan views. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not trying to sit there and like discount the viewpoint at all. I mean, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to come down on you for being a Wiccan. I'm just saying that there are pagan paths that I think that are a little bit more accepting to conservatism than Wicca is, because Wicca is very liberal. I mean, you have to admit that.
It is. Oh, I agree with you. It is liberal. But again, what you were saying too about it being also being individual, that's the beauty of being an American, you know, is that we can have that individuality and we can have our beliefs, I think, and that we can You know, I'd agree with you that a lot of Wiccans are very liberal. And but again, I think that's part of the beauty of being an American is that you can say, here's what I believe, and I think my spiritual values and my religious values also tie into what I believe politically. So I don't know very much about Norse paganism. I've read a little bit about it, so forgive me if I agree with you that all of those things are, you know, I'm glad that you're talking about them, and I'm glad you called, because this is really something, and one of the things that I try to do here is I'm trying to show the rest of the world, for lack of a better way to put it, I guess, but people who aren't familiar with pagans and who aren't familiar with paganism and Wiccans and things like that, that we're not the evil, you know, people that people make us out to be. And you know what, especially around this time of year, around Halloween, you know, you always see the stereotypes that the mainstream media pulls out. You know, they'll pull out somebody who's, you know, running around in their flowing black robes. And what I'm trying to do, and I'm probably explaining it badly, is just trying to dispel some myths and dispel some of the beliefs and some of the misconceptions about Wiccans and pagans. And that's what I'm trying to do here. And I think, you know, Christians have a lot of different political beliefs too, just like anybody else of any other religion. And so I think that's going to be true, just as true of pagans as it is anybody else. But
my personal belief is that, like, to sit there and just to tie our wagon necessarily to beliefs that are more Christian-centered, which are not necessarily conducive of being supportive of our belief systems, I have to question whether or not that's really valid. But you, like you said, you know, we're Americans. We have the freedom to sit there and discuss this as Americans. You know, that's part of what we are. And you know, I agree that, you know, the necessity to sit there and dispel, like, these stereotypes of the velvet cloak-wearing Wiccan. I mean, I'm tired of that. And I don't like the whole concept of the SEA Norse pagan either. I think that's, like, ridiculous.
Right.
It makes us look like fools.
Right, and that's really, really all I'm trying to do here. And I got to let you go. I really thank you for calling in, because you know, you're helping me do what I want to do here, and that's dispel some of the rumors and dispel some of the misconceptions about pagans and Wiccans and of whatever tradition we are. For those of you who don't know, traditions and denominations, if you will, are really kind of the same thing. But I'm really glad you called in, and I hope you call back. Let's see, where was I? The latest on the Maryville, Missouri rape case is that earlier this week they are bringing in a special prosecutor to reopen this case, and the special prosecutor is going to be Jean Peters Baker, and she is the prosecutor for Jackson County, which is up near Kansas City, Missouri. So that is the latest with that case. I'm going to talk about it again some more next week so we can get into – I really haven't got to explain some of the particulars of the case. But before I go here, I just want to remind everybody to – I want to thank my caller tonight for calling in. Please call back again. It was great talking to you.
I can guarantee I will. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to tell everybody, please check me out on Facebook. You can find me at facebook.com/BeckyNoble. My Twitter handle is @PatriotWitch. And please go to where it all started, theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. And I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Thanks for hanging out. We're going to be talking a whole lot about Obamacare in the coming weeks and months. I am sure that is true. So anyway, please find me on the web, and please join me next week. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight, and see you next time.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.